Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! Hee hee! King Shaziz the Turtle! All rise for King Shaziz the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table!
Away, 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 away
something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The table. All rise for the king to serve the table and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible sitting here at the knights table with the honorable knight Muddy Mudman. And anyway, I put a couple videos up in the chat room over at Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio chat room there. And the first video I put up in there was a German journalist talking about how that for years he's been manipulated and bribed into saying things on mainstream media or writing articles or whatever that weren't necessarily real journalism, so to speak. Basically CIA or whatever special interest kind of things that I can't even, after listening to this man talk, I can't even really necessarily say government, because if you go all the way back to the Kennedy assassination, Kennedy was talking about disbanding the CIA. He was talking about a lot of different stuff that if you were a behind the scenes kind of agency that like the power and the money that you had going on and was supposedly working for national security, whatever, you sure wouldn't want somebody talking about disbanding your agency. Well, apparently, according to this guy right here, it's not just one nation, it's in all different nations. These folks have a reach in all different directions that they basically control the media, which, from all the alternative media standpoints, we all knew that long before anybody ever said it. But the fact that somebody had, really came out and voiced their deal on it, I'm kind of like, I'm just not going to take it anymore, and I'm just going to say it, even if it cost me my life, kind of thing. But, even in the alternative media, I've seen this so many times that there were, situations to where, we'd be on a roll, everything's going just fine, and then suddenly somebody would come into the mix that would just start throwing monkey wrenches in everything, And if you're trying to talk something serious about, any kind of event going on in the world, and then you've got somebody taking it off in just a totally insane direction, well, in one sense, it does discredit what you're trying to say or trying to accomplish, because now any potential listener out there would hear what you're saying, and they would hear what they're saying, and they're like, what's the words I'm looking for? Guilt by association. If this one guy's nuts, they must all be nuts, and so it kind of knocks you back a step. And then We've also seen in the alternative media a whole lot of infighting over there on the truther side. You know, they had a truth summit that just kind of went awry. And there was, you know, throughout the entire time that I've been on YouTube and I've watched all the troll wars and stuff like that, one has to ask the question, you know, were these paid individuals that come out there to, I guess in the alternative media they call them shills or trolls or whatever, but were they paid or bribed to go in and disrupt, or, you know, was it just some knucklehead with shenanigans going on? Either way, you know, you have to sort through all the truths and the lies and the propaganda, and so our backs are really seriously up against the wall. And there was a second video that I put in there that pertains to mass animal die-offs around the earth. If you're in any vicinity around where all this stuff is going on, where fish are dying off, and you have any first-hand knowledge that you want to share, you know, that would be great to hear from you. Because when I watch the news media, I like to watch Fox News, but I don't watch the news as if I take it as gospel. Most of the time, most generally, I'm just listening to hear what they're lying about so that I know what to watch out for. Because I've found that on all the news medias, outside of, you know, because I guess I'll be more close to a conservative view every time I listen to shows like MSNBC, I get physically nauseated listening to the lies and propaganda and just flat out ignorance going on, you know, the stirring of the racism, hate, and discontent that goes on in that particular media outlet. It's just, to me, I can't deal with it. So at least on the Fox News side, they're at least kind of talking about what I want to hear, but I still don't trust a word they're saying, because, you know, I've seen many times where I caught them red-handed just flat-out lying. And so now, with this German journalist out here talking, and he's on RT TV, which I also have to kind of say that I don't necessarily trust RT as well. You know, because every single one of these media outlets are essentially extensions of propaganda coming from some different direction, or they have their own agenda that they want to try to push forward to, you know, to make the people out there believe certain things in order to get their agenda through or accomplished or whatever. You know, it's kind of, you know, I tell my story the best I can my way and hope that you come over on my side. You know, knowledge is power, and they pretty much use their platform instead of trying to do good around the world like we're supposed to be doing in all of these alternative media outlets, is, you know, telling the truth and being respectful to one another and so on and so forth in order to try to, you know, put a world together better than what we've had to contend with. Now, media news stories such as mass fish die-offs and birds falling out of sky and cattle and so on and so forth dying off in mass quantities, you know, I have my concerns about that, you know, because we already know things like the Fukushima plant leaking over there in Japan, and we know all the different things that are going on around the world, such as the BP oil spill back in the day when they threw all that Corexit down in the ocean, and there's got to be some sort of side effects to all that going on. But instead of just coming out and saying to the world the truth, you know, hey, look, folks, we got a serious problem over here. We have all these fish dying off. We have a general idea of what's causing this, and we need any kind of solutions or suggestions in order to try to remedy this before, you know, we have essentially the downfall of mankind. Because once we lose the ocean and the food chain begins to collapse, then we all know where we go from there. And so with that said, everyone out there who knows old King Shaziz the Terrible knows I'm not a doomsdayer. I don't subscribe to scaring the crud out of people in order to try to get attention or anything like that. I have an honest heart and a true belief in trying to make this world a better place. But at the same sense, sometimes we actually have to talk about the negative in order to get the positive solutions out there. Excuse me. There has to be a reason why all these fish are dying off. Now, in my own personal spiritual journey, my book right there says that, you know, these things have come to pass. So is this a biblical event going on, or is this just a man-made disaster that's happening, or is it just a natural occurrence that happens and we just notice it more now that we have access to, you know, basically news at the fingertips? Right now, the way that I see everything, I'm leaning more towards a biblical explanation of what's going on in this world. But like I said, to each his own. You're going to have to sort through all the information out there and to discern for yourself what's truth and what's not truth. So mine's not here to propagandize to you or try to scare it out of you, but what I am trying to say is that we need to seriously keep our eyes wide awake in all different directions. When men come out of the darkness and start talking about, you know, how they were bribed or given stories to say by whatever agency, whether it be a government agency or a non-government agency, that brings a lot of concern to me, because now I have to ask, what is the truth? You know, is there any real truth to all of this stuff? And, you know, it's just, it goes on and on. It's a never-ending cycle, a war. You know, Alex Jones always calls it information a war. You know, there's a war going on for your mind. That's one of the things that I can definitely agree with. There is definitely a war going on with your mind. But even at that, the shadow of doubt has actually been put on him as well. You know, is he a plant? Has he been bought off? Do they allow him to broadcast and have as many listeners and subscribers as he does for financial gain? Or, you know, what's the whole deal? And, you know, I don't want to get into some big old discussion about Illuminati conspiracy and this and that, but one has to also not close their eyes to potential secret societies of the world that are actually behind the scenes pulling punches or doing what it is that they're doing, manipulating our information, our news and such. So I can't emphasize this enough. You know, if you are a network owner or a network member anywhere out there, you got to keep going. You can't lay down and allow these guys and gals to do what it is that they're doing. You know, truth has to win over in the day, because if it doesn't, you know, where we're going to be in 10, 20 years from now. You know, this guy out here, he's, like I said, he's a journalist from Germany, and he's speaking out because he sees the writing on the wall. You know, they're trying to get us all into a third world war. You know, and that's not a scare tactic, that's a reality. When you've got things going on such as what's happening over there in, what is that doggone town, Muddy? A country over there, doggone it, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Right next to Russia. Anyway.
I'm lost. I'm sorry.
It's right on my head, and I can't even think about it. You know, they invaded the, was it Ukraine, or, not Ukraine, doggone it. There's just so much to remember. There's just so much stuff out there, it just becomes overwhelming after a while. It'll come to me when I ain't thinking about it. But either way, you got Russian troops on one border, and you got the other troops and the people trying to separate from the other people that's trying to join Russia, and then you got Russia shutting off gas lines to Europe, and you got world economies bouncing up and down, and he said Ukraine. Okay, so there we go. Thanks, Cultus. Anyway, you know, all this stuff going on, it's going to lead somewhere. You know, over here in the United States, our gas prices are really dropping to the dirt. And we're literally seeing like $1.60 a gallon for fuel, you know. And it's actually predicted to go even lower than that. And that kind of concerns me because, you know, we know that our money isn't backed by gold. We know that we're basically using a fiat currency and that the markets are manipulated and such. And so the only reason for that fuel price to be going down there would be to literally bankrupt somebody on the other side of the globe who either sells oil or relies on import or export or something like that for their financial purposes. And so how far can you push another nation before they retaliate in one way or another, whether it be sanctions or war, you know? And all the writing on the wall would tell me that, hey, we're heading that way. And this guy right here, since he lives in Germany, it's obvious that he doesn't want another world war. I mean, that's going to be right in his neighborhood. And I believe it would actually be right here in the United States neighborhood as well. So we're all in the same boat. If this is allowed to continue on the path that it is heading, we're all in on it. You know. It does. There's nobody on the planet who's going to be excluded from World War III. Because if you're even remotely concerned about the things going on in Japan, such as Fukushima and water, radioactive water draining off into the ocean, which is disturbing the natural ecology of everything. Imagine that on an even larger scale when the bombs start falling on people's nuclear power plants around the world. Here in the United States, we've got quite a few, you know, and all the way around the world, there's people that have quite a few. And so what happens when you start dropping bombs on all of them, you know? We've already got problems of deteriorating infrastructure. We've already got problems of, you know, natural problems such as, weather-wise. We've actually even got science fiction-style weather manipulation going on. And you can't no longer call it a conspiracy theory. You know, it ceases to be a conspiracy when birds start dropping from the sky and fish on mass scale start washing up on the shore. You know, it's no longer a conspiracy. There's something serious going on here. So, is this going to be a repeat of some past civilization that has basically destroyed itself with either their technology, greed, or stupidity? Or are we going to be that last generation that would, speak out at the right time and steer this boat away from total calamity? Now, these are the questions that I pose because I have to live on this planet alongside of you, you know? And we, over here in the United States, we've watched a deterioration of our society as far as the way that people respect one another and the things that they say and the selfishness going on. And it saddens my heart because I know that the American people are really good people. You know, they'd give the shirt off their back for somebody. But continuously, there's always someone out there trying to stir the pot of racism or hate or discontent. You know, the government's trying to take away your rights and this and that. And maybe the government is trying to take away your rights. But maybe, just like that mainstream media guy right there, maybe when that senator and that congressman get there thinking they're actually going to make a difference, maybe they get those little visits too. Maybe they're told what to say and what not to say. So could it potentially be that maybe it's not the actual government itself in our nations that are doing this, but behind the scenes secret groups of supposedly folks that are there to watch out for national security. I think over in Europe it's MI6 or something like that, or what, over here at CIA, who knows all the different nations, all the alphabet organizations that are funded by your tax dollars that are essentially going around deciding who's going to be in power, who's not going to be in power, what war is going to happen, what war is not going to happen, and so on and so forth. In the alternative energy side of the spectrum, We're sitting around. I had a really good conversation with Terry Woodruff. He's a really nice individual. I like him a lot. I was having a good conversation with him, and the things that we were talking about as far as alternative energy were the amazing research going on between guys like him and Ryan Abrams and RimStar.org and Deeds and all the different guys out there, Lid Motor, things that they're doing on a small scale that could be scaled up or scaled down either direction to essentially give us clean, free energy. It's all there. You know, all the answers to the question, all the pieces of the puzzle are all there. But then once again, we got to go back to the source of the power structure that is what we call our nations out there, our CIAs, our FBIs, and all the alphabet dudes. Why would they want us to be able to put out their information that would essentially free people from the power companies? You know, yeah, I get so tired of hearing the whole tinfoil hat conspiracy theory kind of stuff there, you know, that it drives me insane because it's not a conspiracy. You know, even in my spiritual journey, when we talk about the Holy Bible, there are books that were excluded from the Bible. You know, the King James Version, there's not a book of Enoch in there. However, Enoch is spoken of in Genesis. And so, you know, to me, it says, okay, well, somebody had information, somebody had knowledge, but instead of putting the entire bit of knowledge on the table for all to see and all to discern whether or not this is the important stuff or not, they chose to basically decide for all of us, we the people out there, what we needed to hear and what we didn't need to hear. You know, essentially, playing nanny or playing God themselves and hiding away information that could have advanced us even further as a society, you know? And so, for the folks out there who, you know, because there's many, many versions of the Bible, you know, and for the folks out there who, you know, either left something out or kind of manipulated something like that, you know, they cheated me on my spiritual journey. Maybe there was something in there that I needed to know, you know, but it wasn't put there. The same thing applies to mainstream media, any alternative media. If you're in the alternative media and you're out there spreading lies and propaganda, You're worse than the guys in the mainstream media, because I can understand the mainstream media being bought off, sold, and threatened, and so on and so forth. But for the most part, the average alternative energy guy isn't getting, you know, visits from the CIA. You know, maybe they are getting men in black come to the door. Who knows? All I can say, if you have the opportunity to speak out before you have that visit, and you haven't been threatened yet, and you're still spreading lies and propaganda, you should be ashamed of yourself. Well, if you're out there stirring the pot of some folks out there that are trying to actually do good work, that are trying to actually bring truth and knowledge to the table, you know, if the truth doesn't match my truth, as long as I finally reach the real truth and I finally get it, you know, then so be it. But I'm going to hold on to my truth as long as I believe it to be so. You know, I don't like the idea of a mainstream news organization coming out there telling me flat out lies to try to manipulate my opinion or decision or beliefs of what I think should be done so that they can get my support. I don't want my support going to anybody by way of deception. You know, nothing's worse than being deceived into, tricked into doing something or saying something, and then you find out later, you know, you were an idiot. You know, and it wasn't necessarily your purposeful being an idiot. It was the fact that you were lied to and manipulated to get to where you're going. You know, it's like the whole Planet X thing. Until I see some sort of hardcore evidence of a Planet X, which right now, believe it or not, I'm not a Planet Xer by any means, but we got huge rocks coming towards us. For some strange reason, something's kicking things out of the asteroid belt. okay, now this is something we can physically see. You know, there's some that you can actually see with a doggone pair of binoculars or a decent telescope in your own backyard. And you have to ask the question, where are these rocks coming from? Why are they being bopped out of the belt? Is there some other planetary deal involved in there? And I'm not trying to persuade you into believing in Planet X or Nibiru or anything like that. All I'm saying is this. When things are going on in the world, you need to keep your eyes peeled, keep your mind open, and any potential, you know, don't close your mind to nothing, especially in this day and age, because it is so easy for, there's a song out there, I can't remember the name of it, but it talks about if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Do you know the name of that, buddy? If you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Anyway. I remember the song. I just don't remember the name. Or
yeah, but see, that's a it's true. You know, if you don't stand up for what you believe in, you're gonna fall for anything out there. If you ain't paying attention to what's going on in this world, then things will just happen whether you like it or not. I mean, potentially or really in reality, they are gonna happen whether you like it or not. But at least try to keep some knowledge in this mass soup of chaos that we've got going on, and don't sit around and live in negativity as if this is all there is, and you know, waste your life away worrying about everything. You do got to be alert, you do got to be aware, but you don't want to allow this stuff to drag you to the dirt. I said this a while back about there's a video out there called the dots, and there's a tiny bit of dots on there that are ruling over and supposedly representing all the massive majority of the dots. And no matter how bad they do their job, no matter how dangerous of a circumstance they put all these people in, they keep on following, you know. We got people out there graduating from high school that can't even read a book, for Pete's sake. That ought to be a red flag. We ought to start standing up and saying, hey, teacher, why is this child graduating from school and he can't even read? Or why has he no mathematical skills? Why is his science, you know, skewed? And it's up to us. It's up to each and every one of us to keep an eye on what our children are being taught in this world. And when we're watching the news, or any information for that matter, it's up to us to discern the truth. If we see something that is troubling on the news, before we go out there and spew that propaganda out to the next person, you know, I got friends and neighbors that are trusted individuals. If they come and tell me information, they have no reason to lie to me whatsoever. And so I could take their word for it, and I could say, oh man, that's terrible, you know. But instead of doing that, even if it's my mother telling me something that's going on, I'm going to research the facts on that deal. I'm going to get down to the bottom of it before I tell that information to anybody else out there in the world. And if I don't, I'm just as guilty as the next guy for spreading that propaganda. I'm helping the enemy, so to speak, of freedom. And I don't want no part in that. So, you know, that's why I put these two videos out there. There is a reason why these doggone fish are washing up on the shore. There is a reason why these birds are dropping from the sky. We know all the chemtrail conspiracies out there, which, you know, you can't even call a conspiracy no more. They're even talking about it on the mainstream media. And all you have to do is have some common sense and basic knowledge in science to look up in the sky. I mean, stop walking around with blinders on and tunnel vision and look up. Ask yourself, is that normal to have a tic-tac-toe pattern in front of the sun every day without fail? Is this the same place that these planes travel? And why would a plane travel this way and then do a U-turn and travel back that way? You can sit out there and physically watch these flight patterns of these planes. Where are they going? It's not normal for a passenger plane to go from point A to point B, do a quick U-turn. Hey, I forgot my wallet, so I'm going back to the airport, and then we'll get back onto our journey over to where we're going. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you think, buddy?
Oh, I think it's all getting kind of scary, you ask me. At first, they don't even want you to have a doggone wood stove. You got all these... It's just like that video's talking about in Hosea. That, you know, basically the fish and the animals and all will be taken away from you. You're sitting there looking at, I mean, we're talking here recent, you know, like in 3 days. I mean, so many doggone fish and everything. And, oh, man, it's just...
Well, he also mentioned...
Years ago, man, you never heard of mass animals dying.
Yeah, he also mentioned in that video that for the last 4 years... 4 years. We're not just talking about, you know, just this year alone. We're talking about for the last 4 years, it's been literally escalating worldwide in all different directions, which begs the question, why? You know? I can understand why birds would be dropping out of the sky if you're spraying the doggone sky with aluminum barium and basically hitting it up with some high-frequency waves. You're turning their internals to mush, and not only that, their respiratory system is so small and working overtime to keep them in the air. When they breathe in a lung full of that stuff and then turn around and get a buzz from, let's say, HARP or radar or whatever, heck, you couldn't breathe. You'd drop out of the sky just like that. And they say they died from blunt force trauma. Heck yeah, they were way up in the air and they hit the dirt. What do you expect? You know what I'm saying? That it common sense is what's lacking in this world, and that's the reality. You know, hey, looks like Raymond's around. Did you throw him up in there?
No, not yet. He just popped in there.
I just saw him.
I just got company. I'm gonna kind of be off the mic for a minute.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll keep the ball rolling when Raymond jump up in here.
All right.
Anyway, there's a lot of valid information out there, you know, and we got to sort through it, and we got to be responsible how we deliver this message to people around the world. Because, man, we got enough problems, let alone worrying about doomsday scenarios. But, you know, all you got to do is stand back and look at the writings on the wall. We should be so much further advanced as a civilization than what we are. We shouldn't hear all these things such as, you know, Raymond's air conditioner in the background. I'm just kidding, buddy. We shouldn't hear all these things like we do on a continuous basis, such as people starving around the world. There's no reason for that. We got the resources to take care of these folks. You know, I mean, come on. You're walking around with an iPhone 6 or whatever, you know, and it's digital everything. You got satellite TV. You tell me if I can't go Google Earth my own house, that we couldn't go Google Earth to see that these people over here are really seriously in trouble or something. You know, we have the technology, we have the means, we have the resources to take and feed every single individual and clothe every person on this planet. For Pete's sake, there's probably thousands and thousands, if not millions, of warehouses stored up with stacked up things that, you know, eventually will come down to where you're buying them in a thrift store. And not going to use. Some of them end up in landfills. So there's materials out there. There's food that is sitting there expiring. And eventually will end up in the trash heap somewhere. And it could have been used. So if the concern was literally for all of humanity, we would be checking our resources and our supplies and finding out what we have that we can send over, you know, and still not kill our bottom line. I mean, if you're going to throw it in the dump anyway, you're not going to make no money off it, but you're going to use that to deduct it from your taxes so that you get a tax refund or deduction out of your business by claiming it as a loss. Why don't you, instead of claim it as a loss, claim it as a charitable donation to a foreign nation who could really use these supplies? We don't hear this kind of stuff. We do hear continuously how companies in the United States and probably all over the world at restaurants will throw tons and tons of food away. School districts that, they feed kids things that they don't want to eat, and the garbage just piles up. The waste in food alone is ridiculous. And yet we still have commercials on TV with little children with tears in their eyes because they're hungry. You know, little children that need shoes on their feet. Little children that need school books. We're throwing school books in the dumps by the tons. If you don't believe me, go to your local recycling place and see where all these school books end up after the schools bring in new books. Mostly new books of indoctrination and propaganda, because they sure ain't telling the truth in a lot of these things. So, you know, with that said, what we got going on in this world, our backs as the people of the world are up against the wall. And if each and every individual out there chooses to live in a bubble, you know, my life is just fine. If it's not in my neighborhood, if it's not affecting me, then it's not my problem. Well, essentially, ladies and gentlemen of the world, it is your problem. Because if World War III starts because of some journalist that was told to tell a story that he had no prior knowledge or evidence of, he just repeated what was told to him, and then this story goes worldwide, and suddenly we're fighting an enemy that doesn't even exist, or an enemy that isn't really an enemy, that it just... we just disagreed with them on a political view, and we decided to start a war with them. You know, like I said, gas prices over here in the United States are down to $1.60 a gallon. Man, it ain't been that way for a long time. I've paid as much as $4 and close to $5 a gallon for fuel. And that was because our money system is so screwed up. We're playing Monopoly money. The paper that we've got, the Federal Reserve notes, aren't worth the paper they're printed on. We allowed somebody else to take control. The Federal Reserve isn't even a federal organization. It's nothing related to government. But yet they've been allowed to manipulate the price and the interest of everything under the sun. And so with that said, there's only one reason for them to manipulate oil prices down as low as they're manipulating them, and that is to harm somebody else. If they're messing with all these folks' finances over there, it's hard to be a powerful nation if you ain't got no money to back your war machine, you know. And look at the Middle East. For the most part, it's desert, you know, and the only thing they got for finance-wise is the oil boom. You know, they're making out like bandits. They're millionaires over there, that at least the folks that are in charge, and they all got their money off of oil. So if the price of oil drops to the dirt, suddenly their power decreases majorly, because now they can't even pay their own bills, you know. And Russia, same thing. Europe relies on a gas pipeline that comes in from Russia, and that now we hear that that's been shut down because of the sanctions that the United States put on Russia, and we're hearing about talks, nuclear talks with Iran and all this. So now to go through and sort out and figure out what's truth, what's propaganda, what's what, but either way, it seems to me that from what this man on the mainstream media said that they've been making him do, and many others do all along, you know, by bribery or trickery or even blackmail or possibility of death, one can understand that when you hear something on the news, you need to step back for a second and you need to start doing some serious research into what they're telling you before you back the war machine. Because once we get into World War III, it's a done deal. It's like Pandora's box. Once we open that gate, once the bombs begin to fall, you know, it ain't just me. It ain't just you. It ain't just the Buddhist or the Christian or the Muslim or the atheist. It's all of us. Because this boat that we're on, this beautiful rock that we're flying through space on, we can't necessarily just get off right now. You know, we have a few astronauts floating around up in space and little space stations and stuff like that. And maybe we got some drones going to different rocks out and but as far as getting off this rock and going somewhere else to live because we've blown this one up, I got news for you. There ain't no ark. There's nothing we can get on. And if the elites have it, you're not invited. They're going to get on it. They're going to go to whatever planet they've discovered, and you're going to be here to suffer the consequences of their actions. This is why I say that we are the founding fathers of our fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, so on down the line, of our children and our children's children's future. And so, if you're in the alternative media, and even if you only have one or two listeners or people that listen to you on a regular basis, I suggest that you tell them the truth. There's a lot of responsibility in passing information to the next guy, because when you tell somebody something, if it's not true and it goes on down the line, the repercussions will eventually come back. And they'll come back with the vengeance. There are fish dying off in the ocean. We got to ask why. We got to get down to the bottom of it. And if the mainstream media isn't going to talk about it, then the alternative media needs to talk about it. But they need to talk about it with some sense of responsibility, as this, you know, hey, this isn't doomsday prophecy. This is in your face. We need to seriously find out where this has come from. We need to do something about it. If the mainstream media ain't going to talk about it, they ain't going to do nothing about it. Stop watching their news. And watch their ratings drop to the dirt. And when they call you up and say, hey, we're taking a poll, why is it that you don't watch our mainstream media anymore? Because you're a liar. That's why we don't watch you. Because we've caught you many times lying. We've caught you ignoring important stories such as thousands of fish washing up on the shore. Thousands of birds dropping out of the sky, and every time we even remotely try to touch on the subject, you got some sort of stupid, nonsensical, non-science explanation for why birds fell out of the sky, such as, hey, fireworks. Well, Raymond, I know, and you know, because we're in America, we celebrate 4th of July, I ain't never seen, because of fireworks, birds dropping out of the sky. Have you, brother?
Heck no. No, ever. Not one time. And I'm 70 years old.
Yeah, 70 years. I'm 49, so you got a few on me, but you've been down the road and you see, we have lit off firecrackers and bottle rockets and everything under the sun, and never, never, ever, unless you accidentally shot a bird with a bottle rocket and caught him by surprise, most generally they hit the bricks in a hurry. They're not dropping out of the sky by the thousands. You know?
Not many birds fly at night, and most people don't shoot firecrackers off in the daytime because they're not as pretty.
Yeah.
But, you know, Samuel Clemens just said in a very short phrase what you've been talking about this whole time. He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. But he who reads the newspaper is misinformed. And that's the mainstream media today.
And how, brother? And this is why I wanted to put these two specific videos out here, because, look, you know, I'm not trying to push my religious views on anybody, but if you can't find a plausible explanation for this deal, if you can't find a reasonable explanation for this deal, if you can't find a spiritual explanation for this deal, there has to be some explanation behind why this is all occurring. This guy in the other video, he's sitting there saying that he's been lying to you, the people out there, for years, putting out stories and signing his name to it because somebody behind the scenes keeps giving him the information, and now he's feeling bad about it, and he's realizing, because he's seen the writing on the wall, that we're heading towards World War III. This guy ought to be protected. This guy ought to be commended for coming forth and saying what it is he says. You know, if indeed our mainstream media isn't at fault, see, there, at one point, I was mad, and I'm still kind of mad at the mainstream media folks. Why would they do something and say the things that they say or ignore the important stories if they weren't, if they weren't doing this intentionally? Then we need to protect them. if they are part of the problem and they're doing it for financial gain, you see what I'm trying to say here, Raymond?
I know exactly what you're saying. You're saying it extremely clearly, very clear.
It's just, it's sickening because, you know, these folks out there got to have families. And if they're telling lies and propaganda, their family is going to be in the middle of World War III just along with our family. So yep. The responsibility factor of them opening their mouth or not opening their mouth because of fear or financial gain or for whatever purpose. If you're going to get on the mainstream media and you're going to sit there and spread lies and propaganda instead of truth, and the point of the whole matter is you shouldn't be there at all, because what you're doing, you know, like I said, I have friends that I trust. I trust you, Raymond. If you came to me and you told me a serious story, I trust you enough that I'm going to look into that story, but I'm not going to take it as gospel just because you said it to me. And that's not out of disrespect for you, but that's out of respect for the next guy that I repeat the story to, because I don't know, maybe somebody lied to you. You see what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying. Exactly.
So I want to verify, you know. I want to verify what was being told to me, and then I come back and say, hey, Raymond, I checked this story out with you in several different deals, and part of it was right, but there is this one part that maybe you may or may not be aware of. And that's not only going to help me, but it's going to help you, and it's going to help the next guy who hears the story, because now next time you tell the story, you're going to be telling it, hey, but we found out that on this other side, you know. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir. I really do.
That's the responsibility.
I never repeat anything that I've heard without saying, this is what I was told. This is what I read.
Yeah.
Now, if I say, tell you a story and say, this happened to me, then you better watch out, because it might be a joke. If it's funny, it's going to be a joke. If it's not, then that's what happened to me.
Well, you know, when it comes down to...
When you put them on yourself, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can take a joke like the next guy, but these guys, if they are joking, they went well over the line, man. I mean,
that's what I'm trying to make right there. They take it like it's super serious and describe all kinds of mayhem and famines and wars and fightings and killings and stuff. And the thing is, it's not even true. If they're not even trying to make fun. They're not even trying to make a joke. They're trying to get people upset, and they're doing a daggone good job.
Well, yeah, and as long as people live in fear, and I'm going to give this example again. I kind of touched on it yesterday on the Mad Science Show. Back during the whole Y2K, that was the biggest money-making scam in the history of scams. They made millions of dollars. They sold generators and doomsday supplies and airtime on the mainstream news channels and such, and everybody was talking about it, you know, and this and that. But they didn't come down here and say, look, you know, hey, we come across this deal where there are some computers out there, older systems that may have some problems, but don't get in a panic, because this is not a worldwide thing, because there are, you know, newer systems, and Microsoft done figured this out and had already, you know, replaced the chips in their newer systems. So this is not going to be a major calamity, but it is something you need to be aware of. You know, I never respected that.
The thing is, you just said a minute ago, when you hear something, or the news says something, or whatever, and it sounds bad, check it out. Don't take it at face value, people.
Yep.
I mean, God, when they started talking about Y2K, I said, oh, okay, no, it could be serious, duh. And next thing you know, the whole world's talking about it, and I said, wait a minute, we need to check this out. I didn't say anything to anybody. I went to a yard sale, bought a couple of computers for $5 or $10, older computer, brought them home, reset the date so that, you know, the 2000 would roll over the next day, and here it was in the first part of December, first week of December, and guess what? It did exactly that. It rolled over. Nothing happened to the computer.
Yep.
Nobody had programmed the computer to die. I mean, what? Can you give me a break? I mean, it was totally 100%, if it's possible, 117.5% scam. It was a means of people to make money just shafting other people. And that's all it was.
This whole war on terror, this whole war on drugs is another deal, you know. On one hand, and you could research it. All right, our military was actually over in Afghanistan helping to guard their poppy fields. All right, wait a second here. We're paying our military to protect their financial interests over there when we know that some of the dope is going to end up over here in the United States. I thought we had a war on drugs as well. Yeah. So what's going on here? And these are the kind of questions that I'm going to stand back and say, hold on a second. You know, you've got a war on drugs, but yet you just sent a bunch of guns down to Mexico that just ended up shooting one of our, or two of our border agents and possibly even more. You know, what's going on there? You know, I'm asking, what's the tough question there? Am I a conspiracy theorist for saying, you know, hey, this just kind of stinks here. Something ain't right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like we sent our old jet planes, fighters, to a country and wind up 2 years later having to shoot our own damn planes down. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There are pictures out there of Muammar Gaddafi, I think that's his name, Libya, the guy that they murdered over in Libya. Alright?
Yeah.
There are pictures of him and politicians standing side by side, buddy-buddy, you know, with their arm around each other. You know, they're all pals one week, and then the next week he's out there massacring his own people, and we got to go in and save the people and kill him up. Well, wait a second. How do you go from being a buddy-buddy to somebody who you know is being a murderer? Because apparently they had inside information all along that this guy was doing some dirty deeds. But then again, you got other information out there that says, wait a second, this guy was trying to unite all of Africa, and he just recently told that he wasn't going to take the dollar or the euro anymore, that he was going to only accept gold for his oil. Okay, well, that kind of sheds a little bit of light on something. Maybe there's some stink going on here.
Well, you know, I got a theory on that. That said, it's not mine. It's somebody else wrote it, put it on the internet. I mean, gold, you can't eat it. They're hungry. Hey, why not a bushel of wheat for them?
And they had an oil for food program.
We're talking about us throwing away so much food. Do you realize that the United States in one day, the United States throws away enough food to feed every man, woman, and child in Kuwait 3 square meals a day.
I believe it.
For a year.
I believe it. I've seen waste on mass scales, and from big corporations too. And some of these, and I don't want this to sound racist or anything, but listen.
We have surplus of food. They have a surplus of oil. Screw the gold. If they want food, we want oil, let's make a trade.
Listen, I want to say something, but I don't want to sound racist or anything, but I got to say it anyway. There are some people from different countries like India and over in the Middle East that have owners of major companies over there, such as like 7-Eleven or Quick Trips or stuff like that, that throw away a lot of food too. Now, if you are from those different countries and there is definitely a need, wouldn't you want to try to figure out a way instead of wasting that to try to get the needs met? I mean, I'm just asking the question. I'm not saying that, you know, because this guy is a foreigner and owns a 7-Eleven that he's a, you know, bad individual or anything like that. All I'm saying is that if there's a definite need in your nation, wouldn't you want to try to help at least do something for that?
Yep.
You know, and it's here in America. We see it. We see, you know, big companies like Casey's, you know, throwing food after food, more food in the trash, while we know that we're hearing stories about little children. Even here in America, there's still hunger going on in America. There's quite a few people on food stamps and welfare, you know. There's definitely a need out there. And you can't drive down the road these days without seeing somebody holding up a sign saying, I need some help, you know? So, you know, where's the common sense, Raymond? Do you know?
I have no idea. It don't make sense at all, does it?
No, it don't. And, you know, and so here we go. We're sitting here, we're on the Knights of the Round Table, which is just one of many networks out there trying to make a difference, you know. And we're trying to find solutions to problems. We can sit here, you and I and Muddy and everyone else that comes on the Knights of the Round Table have brilliant ideas. Now, how do we get those brilliant ideas into the so-called representatives of the world to start enacting these brilliant ideas? If you know that there's definitely a waste going on in all the different industries, then and you know that there's definitely a need, wouldn't there be a way that you could figure out how to ship some things that are needed over to other nations that are in trouble?
Yeah.
Muddy's read it out for me, The Dream, and Kent Anderson read it out, and in that dream it talks about, you know, our militaries have the power to go over and literally destroy another nation. Why couldn't they use that military power to go over and deliver somebody a sandwich? I mean, come on.
Yep. You
know, they're wasting money anyway.
And bring back a little bit of oil.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Hey, don't give anything. Trade.
Well, that's fine.
Anything has no value.
That's it fine.
All the food we send over to different countries in Africa, 99 pounds out of every 100 that we send to a poor country never gets to poor people.
Well, and that's
beautiful political power.
That's the problem right there. You know, I'd say, look, I got a military power and I'm going to send this food over there. If you're going to get in my way, you're going to have to fight your way to this food because it's going to these people over there. If you are in need, then we'll try to help you out as well. But you're not going to steal this stuff from those poor people. That's what...
Exactly. If you're going to take food over there, you take it in a jumbo jet with about 6 or 8 good fighter escorts, and anybody that attacks that plane gets shot down, and so the plane goes over and drops the food on the people, not the government.
Do you realize how many millions of dollars are spent on a daily basis just flying around the world and showing a show of force that we're here and you better not mess with America or whatever, you know? And it's not just America, it's all the different major powers of the world. Millions of dollars.
Roosevelt said, walk softly, carry a big stick. Or speak softly, carry a big stick. What was that?
Yeah. Have you ever heard the term community policing?
Yeah.
It really does work. Seriously, if it's actually enacted, it really does work. I know this from experience. You can either go in and you can just show, hey, I'm the big bad guy, or you can go in there and you can work with the residents in the town or whatever and find out what their needs are and get an open line of communication between them. And if they're helping each other out, you're getting less calls as far as, you know, neighbor beating up neighbor or so on and so forth, you know. Less complaints about somebody's yard being messed up because now you got this neighbor helping that neighbor and the community starts to rise up. You know,
the thing is, a bully on the block lives a daggone good life until another bully comes along and all of a sudden you got two biggest kids on the block butting heads.
Yep.
That's how it goes. That's just the way it goes. I mean, you're fine as long as you're the only bully on the block.
Well, you know, here's a conundrum here, and this is going to sound bad here, I'm pretty sure, because, you know, to me it don't make a lot of sense, because on one hand, you got what are called UN peacekeepers, UN troops. Now, those if those were utilized to what the word sounds like, you know, it'd be like community policing. Hey, we're UN troops, we're going to come over. We're going to be like the Salvation Army that goes around and gives people food, water, and blankets during disasters and stuff, all right? But we're also going to have a show of force that if anybody tries to harm these people while we're trying to feed these people, then we're going to back our actions up with a worldwide, butt-kicking, so to speak. You know, right. That sounds good in theory, but that's not the way it plays out, you know. And so if each and every individual nation, instead of having a UN peacekeeping force, would take their own advice, their own nation, and lead by example. Like, if I'm going to be over in this neighborhood because we're supposedly fighting this invisible enemy or whatever, if I'm going to be over there anyway, I'm going to go around, I'm going to have my soldiers go around and ask the individuals around there, hey, you know, everybody got what they need, that kind of stuff there, and if not, then we'll figure out a way to help you out, you know, because I'd rather have a friend over there in that neighborhood while I'm fighting the enemy than have a potential person that the enemy could use to strap a bomb to themselves and blow me up while I'm trying to so-called bring democracy, peace, and whatever to the world. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's counterproductive the way they go about stuff. You know, you bring your military into their country. You're over there bombing the crud out of somebody. You're not addressing any kind of needs that these individuals may or may not have. And so you got resentment right there. Hey, you're like an occupying force in my nation, and you ain't pitched in on nothing. But you left a hell of a mess behind. You see what I mean?
Yep, I do. Yep, I do.
You know, oh, man, I just tell you, the lack of common sense, it drives me bonkers, man. You know, here we are. Like I said, we're on a nice little round table. We're talking about real solutions. We're talking about, you know, real ideas. And if we can figure this out, you think that the guys up there at the top that are running the show don't already know, you know? If there's a problem out there, why beat around the bush and lie to us about it? You know, we're going to find out eventually when Planet X blasts into the planet. Hey, there's something wrong. You see that big rocket's coming towards us? We're going to get the hint eventually. So, you know, why hide it if it's the truth? You know, hey, we got this serious problem coming our way. We need to figure out how to resolve this issue before we ain't got a planet anymore. We're calling out for all the brilliant minds of the world to come together and find a solution in order to steer this rock off in a different direction. You know, something like that. Or, you know, when the oil spill was going on, over there, BP oil spill, there were hundreds of alternative scientists that came in there, and even just average Joes that had brilliant ideas. Instead of putting Corexit in the water, they were talking about using straw or hay to absorb the oil, to corral it, you know, that way it'd be easier to clean up and so on and so forth. Money's gone. I'm going to have to try to add Thomas to this call here. He's trying to get in there. All right, let me see if I can get him in here. Anyway, you know, what's your thoughts on the matter? I've been going off on a rant here for...
Yeah, you have, and you've been on the right track, too. You really have. I mean, you got on your soapbox big time today.
Yeah, I did. And I hate to talk over people, brother.
You know, the thing is, I'd like to talk to the listeners out there just for a second. And that is, all you couch potatoes out there, you got to understand physics. A body at rest tends to stay at rest until acted upon by an outside force. Well, you couch potatoes, you think you're invisible, but you just look that way. This show is all about getting you to, when the show's over, right now, put the daggone remote down, get up, and go do something.
Yeah, anything.
You got great ideas. Put them into motion. This radio show is your outside force to get your couch potatoes up and moving.
And it's also a platform. It's also an open platform for you. If you're on the couch and you have access to Skype, you can add any one of us as a contact. And if you have something that needs to be heard or a problem that needs to be addressed, that's what it's about. You know,
come in on the show. Tell it. Help.
We just got to use common sense and continue to use common sense as much as humanly possible. You know, the alternative is this. You know, we've seen it. We've seen it in the news. You know, we hear all the lies, the propaganda, the stupidity, and you know, I've heard it, Brandon, I've heard it from kids. I've heard common sense from kids.
That know what we're talking about, and they have some really beautiful, great ideas. But their great and beautiful ideas are absolutely worthless because they're in their head. People, if you've got an idea, whether you think it's silly or not, it doesn't matter. Bring it to the table. Bring it to the show.
Yeah.
Let it out there. Let's let the world see how you feel. What are you willing to do?
You got a shiny new toolbox in your closet, and it has a lot of really nice tools in that thing. And you ain't used it since you got it, you know. And somebody out there doesn't have that set of tools, you know. You know, you got a little bit of knowledge in your head, and you're not using it. And essentially, it's about time for you to break open that toolbox and do what it is that you do best.
Right.
You know, it's as simple as that. Those tools aren't going to get anything done if you don't pick them up. And it's the same thing with knowledge, you know. All the information that you're hearing out there, you take it to heart.
They could be shiny, pretty tools, but nobody's going to get to enjoy them because they're in your closet.
Yeah.
You've got ideas, but nobody can enjoy it if you don't get it out there and get it used. You got to get some grease on them tools.
That's right.
Come on. You know, it's not dirt, it's grease.
Somebody one time said something about getting your hands dirty.
Plus your ideas. And let's just see what's wrong. It's not going to be dirty. It's going to be some grease.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. We need your good ideas.
We need people coming to the table. We need people with brilliant ideas. And we need to keep the ball rolling. I mean...
You got it.
It's just... you know what? Look. The world that we live in right now, you know, some folks, you know, would say, hey, that's all a hologram, none of it's real, you know, and we could go into all the in-depth conspiracies about the ancient aliens and so on and so forth, and we can argue back and forth about religions and sacred geometry and all this kind of stuff. You know, the truth is right there in front of your face and has been all along. You are a lot more powerful than you give yourself credit for. You know, we got guys out here that are brilliant. You know, Thomas is like really good in knowledge about chemistry, and Raymond's got a lot of electrical skills just as well as Muddy does, and Dublin, he's been around the world. He's got a lot of research under his belt and stuff like that. And we bring all these people to the table, and we actually give them a platform by which they can share that information with you, and there's something that you know, research that you've done, or a skill or a talent that you could share with the world as well. We can have said idly by and allow all these stupidities to happen in the world and just sit back, and then when World War III does actually get here, we can sit around and cry on each other's shoulder like, you know, oh, this is so terrible, you know, we're all suffering so badly. Well, we're shouting. We're putting the road flares out there. We got the flags going. We're saying, hey, you know, look over there, pay attention, you know. Don't freak out. It's not the Y2K, but you need to be aware that there are situations happening in this world, you know, that thousands of fish don't wash up on the shore for nothing. You know, birds don't fall from the sky for nothing. Wars don't start overnight for nothing, you know. It's not like everybody wakes up one day and says, you know, hey, I hate the Russians. Let's go and bomb the crap out of them, you know. You know, maybe there are some psychotic nutcases at the top of the pyramid that, you know, just want to do it just to be doing it or to make more money. Whatever the case may be. You can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody killing each other. You can't sell anything unless there's some sort of need out there in the world. And so, you know, if I was in the drug company, hey, if I knew this dude had the flu and I was a dirty, rotten, no good for nothing, I'd say, hey, man, here's a free ticket to this concert down there. Go on over there and, you know, enjoy yourself. You know, send him out there to make everybody sick. Does that make any sense to anybody but me?
That makes a lot of sense to anybody who wants to make money and doesn't care about other people.
Yeah, I could make a lot of money if I give everybody the cold. And all along, you know, hey, I heard about this guy that's got a cure for the common cold, you know. I'm going to tell everybody he's one of them tinfoil hat wearing nutcases. Don't listen to him. He's into voodoo or something like that. I want to make some money.
In 1953, there was I'm not sure exactly the statistics, but I think it was something like Canada and the United States, there was something like 3 people out of every 100 had cancer. And they've had a cure, an absolute positive cure for cancer.
Well, I believe it.
Well, in 1958, after 5 years of distributing this drug and curing cancer, they realized that they couldn't make any money by curing people. They could make a lot of money if they treated them. So in 1958, all the drug companies, and well, I'm not talking bullcrap here, okay? This is statistics. You can check it out. All of you out there. Check it. Don't take my word for it.
Well, they also say life imitates art. Do you remember a movie with Nicolas Cage in it?
I'm sorry, Jesus. I haven't finished. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Companies got together, pooled their money, paid lobbyists to legalize this particular drug in the United States. The drug that cures cancer is illegal in the United States. But it cures cancer.
Well, I believe it. There's no doubt in my mind.
Pass the law because the drug company put the money and paid them off to make this drug illegal.
I'm sorry. Well, guys, it seems like it's my cue to jump in there.
Go ahead.
Some of you know that I used to work in IT, and one of the contracts that I worked on was for GlaxoSmithKline. And I had a personal conversation with one of the guys that actually develops drugs for this big pharmaceutical company. And he told me that they don't make cures, they make dependencies.
Exactly.
Well, and I believe it.
It's as simple as that. I was taking an antidepressant at the time. And he kind of looked over his bifocal glasses like a professor-y type guy. And he said, you're kind of stupid, what are you taking that for? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we don't make cures, we make dependencies. I mean, if we get you on this drug for the rest of your life, we make a massive amount of money, but if we kill you, sure, you go away unhappy. Where's the money in that?
Yep, and there's another aspect of the whole thing. You know, a lot of folks think that they're trying to kill us all off. I mean, they might want to keep us sick, but why would they want to kill off their money machine, you know? As long as we got the cold or the flu or whatever, we're going to go out and buy their treatments, which aren't cures. They're just essentially going to mask the symptoms and not actually do anything towards getting rid of it. You just feel better while your flu is doing its natural process. You know, there's a video, okay, a movie out there. There's a video, a movie out there with Nicolas Cage in there where he's a gun runner. And he's playing both sides of the fence. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm going to give you guns. I'm going to sell you guns over there, but I'm going to sell your enemy guns as well. You know, hey, and everybody keeps buying. You see what I'm saying?
Every movie was a sport of war.
You mean like Granddaddy Bush in World War II?
Yeah.
That movie was so good, the moment it finished, I got up, made me a cup of coffee, and started all over again. Fix a cup of coffee.
I'd like to put a little footnote on that comment. If you go onto the internet and you do a search on GlaxoSmithKline chief executives in China imprisoned for bribing doctors to prescribe GSK drugs.
Man.
In fines by the Chinese government.
It don't stop, man. It doesn't stop. Not even in the drug trade. It doesn't stop. You know, on one hand, there'll be companies out there that will give you things like let's say take smoking, for instance. You know, smoking cigarettes. We'll sell you a patch. But on the other hand, they got stocks in the cigarette company as well. So they're going to keep you smoking, but try to talk you into not smoking. Either way, they're going to make money. You know, either direction. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually had a conversation with a guy who was a salesman for British and American Tobacco. I was working in a bar and he wanted me to stock his cigarettes in the bar. And I said, sir, you're in a dying trade, literally. There are still people in this world that promote carcinogens as a form of relaxation. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Feed your family, you know, put a roof over your head, have a car outside, but do you really need to kill people to do it?
You know, there's so much to be said about what we're talking here, man. I mean, this, to bring this to light to everybody, common sense, I just, you got to be careful about what you see out there in this world. I did a video back in, I think it's 2011 or something like that, Warning to the World, and essentially it talked about the switch from analog TV over to digital TV, how, you know, it's really easy to manipulate digital TV. Back in the old days, they used to put one frame of popcorn in between the show, and your subconscious would pick it up. You wouldn't even realize you even saw it, but next thing you know, the lines at the snack bar were huge. These guys have figured out ways from day one to continue to make money. If you're in the oil industry, you're against any alternative energy that's going to take away from your pocket. If you're in the food or drug industry, you're the same thing. The same thing applies with all the industries of this world, you know, the war machine, so on and so forth. That what is the solution to the whole deal is to be literally knowledgeable about what it is that you're buying before you buy it. You know, if you go to a company such as Walmart or whatever, and you're going to buy a product, then you need to know where they got that product, the companies that provided that product, what the product was being, how it was being made, what's in the product, how the people who were actually manufacturing the product were treated, and what kind of mess was left behind for them to have to suffer through if you're going to buy responsibly, you know. Otherwise, you pretty much say it's okay, no matter where you got this, it's all right, you know, I don't care. And well, what about those folks that are in there being paid essentially slave wages, which to them might be $1 million, you know? 50 cents to them might be like 20 bucks to me, you know? I don't know. But what I do know is that before I buy their stuff, I'd like to at least know that they didn't harm nobody to get this stuff. And we all know that corporations do this all the time. They go into foreign countries because they ain't underneath the regulations, and they do these things, you know? Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely 100% correct.
She says,
yeah.
A guy said to me, why did you move to Asia? And I said, well, why did they send 250 million industrial jobs there?
Right.
Where the jobs are at.
IT support services. If you're going to push 250 million industrial jobs to Asia, you need the support services. And the guys here are good, but they just don't have the experience.
Well, you know what? Knowledge is power. It's time to
I'll tell you what.
Joe.
Think of this. Did you ever see a camel at a petrol gas station?
Nope.
Well, the Saudis are going to have the last laugh when the oil runs out.
Yeah, that's true. As long as they can keep some fresh water going, and they've proven it over in Dubai, they know how to desalinate water, so, hey, I think they got that squared away.
Well, think of this. When the Vikings were raping and pillaging our common ancestors, because, to be honest, the Americans are basically the Europeans that we didn't really like very much, so we sent them off to Australia, mostly the Irish and the religious fanatics to America. No offence intended, but it's pretty much the truth of it. And 5,000 years ago, Persia had street lighting, it had irrigation, it had hot and cold running water, it had proper sewage systems. And we were still using basically straw and horse poo to make our houses out of.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're looking at these backwards people. Well, you know, if you keep invading people's countries and undermining their governments, it's not surprising they can't get their act together.
Well, you know what? With all that said, and we hear all these stories about these big old United Nations groups that get together and they talk about making the world a better place. I think they got the wrong individual sitting up there around that round table. I think that they need an invasion right there. They need some common sense people to come in there and sit down, and when they talk stupidity, speak out. Because what they're doing is the same thing that they've been doing for how many years? 20, 30, 40, maybe even 100 years. They keep on repeating the same doggone thing. We have the same problems going on. And the average Joe down here that finally wakes up and sees the world as it really is and says something about that, suddenly you're a nutcase, you know. And after you get bombarded so many times by your own peers out here in the general public of talking about you're being a nutcase or there is nothing you can do about it, you know, the elite have us by the whatever, you know, it's not true. It's just simply not true. They do not have us by it. We are literally giving them implied consent that all this stupid is all right. It's okay that people are starving in the world because I can send my 99 cents a day out there to this charity, which will eventually get there and fix the problem. Well, the need isn't tomorrow. The need is actually today. There's actually some child somewhere that needs something. And what is stopping us with our modern technology? We have the capabilities to wire money direct from one place to the next that could buy this kid some food to put it in his belly. You see what I mean? And yet, we're still seeing the same thing. We're still hearing the same thing. They're still talking about the wars. They're still talking about the corruption in the Congress, you know, Democrats versus Republicans, so on and so forth. The dog and pony show continues on. Everybody rushes to the polls every election season, and they vote for their red or blue team. And at the same time, when you think that these guys done said that they were going to do something, when they get in there, they do just the opposite of what they said. So with that knowledge, why are we still even buying or watching what they're saying? It's as simple as that. They're going to continue as long as we keep paying them. You know what I mean? If I work for Raymond and he had a certain task that he wanted me to do, and I went there and I just kind of like sat around and took a smoke break every 2 minutes or whatever, Raymond, how long would I have that job?
Not very. Not long.
That's my point. Go ahead, Steve.
It is an interesting concept that came around about 10, 15 years ago. Now, all of that food that was sent to Tacloban in the Philippines after Hurricane Yolanda was left outside. Tins of sardines, rations, and this year, it was all dumped.
What?
Thousands of tons of food was thrown in the bin because it wasn't properly stored, and the people that they delivered it to in a country with huge UV radiation, this stuff was left on the tarmac at the airport, and by the time it arrived to the people, it was inedible.
That's,
and the people that
needed it, that is a shame, man.
I've had this from first-hand accounts from somebody that was part of the distribution effort, a middle-class professor that was involved in some of the recovery efforts.
That's a crying now, shame, man.
Yes, it is.
That's corrupt governments.
You know,
same as Haiti. When they had that earthquake in Haiti, they wouldn't distribute the food until certain people got there to start distributing it with the camera crews.
Right, right. Money, advertising.
Yeah.
What happened when the cameras were turned off?
Well, yeah, they started battering people that were trying to climb over the fences to get to the food in Haiti. Now, there is an alternative to that. Instead of giving your 99 cents to one of these big global corporations that does charity funding and just accidentally on purpose slips an intelligence agent into the NGO to start undermining people's governments through social media, there's a thing called microloans.
I like your terminology, accidentally, on purpose.
Well, you know, you can't vet every volunteer, can you? And if it just so happened to be one of these 5,000 people that have been going around the world for the last 10 years funded by various agencies to help people overthrow their dictatorships and promote democracy, blah, blah, blah. But let's not get too much into that. The concept of microloans
if you've got a small village in the back end of nowhere that wants to perhaps raise itself up a level, you can invest anywhere from $100 to $1,500 US by giving people the opportunity to look after themselves.
Yes.
And it's on the basis of trust.
Yeah, there's a...
You give,
go ahead.
You give people $1,000 US, they start a cheese factory in their local area making goat's cheese. Organically, healthily, through techniques they've developed over thousands of years, these people just cannot get a leg up. And the potential of a microloan allows them to do that.
Well, I like the idea.
I do too. And not giving, you're investing. There's a difference. Anything good has no value, but to invest in people's want to help themselves, to invest in those people, to take money and buy the equipment they need, and invest. You give them the equipment, they make the cheese, you sell it. I like that. Don't go get them that thing of chance.
You know what they say, you give a man a fish and he'll feed himself for a day. You give him a boat and he'll sit on the dock drinking beer, lying about the one that got away.
Exactly.
But, well, you know, it was a concept that came across in the late 90s, early noughties.
We can't vouch for every single individual out there having common sense or even making the right choice, but we can point out some really good ideas like you guys are doing already and have been for quite some time that hopefully they will be taken to heart and change the world that we're living in. You know, that's just my view on the thing.
Well, think about it. Why does a politician get paid into his pension the average industrial wage per month?
Well, I don't know, but I don't really see any. I don't really see any struggling financially politicians these days.
What did it cost Obama to get elected? $1 billion.
Yeah, you know what? That's another thing. You know, look, I don't begrudge anyone being a millionaire. That's not. You know, more power to them. If you can reach that ultimate goal and live the lifestyle and have the Ferraris and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if your boot is standing on the neck of somebody to get where you're going, there's a problem there. You see what I mean?
Yes. You know, the United States financial system is set up. The only way you can make $1 million legally and, like you said, not your boot on somebody else's neck, morally. The only way you can legally and morally make $1 million by our financial system is to make 10 other people $100,000 each. And the only way they're going to get the $100,000 is it morally and legally is if they help 10 other people each make $10,000 a piece. So to make money legally and morally, you're actually increasing and helping society. So do not be, if you're a millionaire and you made your money legally and morally, do not be ashamed of it. Don't think that anybody here is going to cut you down for it either.
No.
Pat you on the back, say good going.
But if you're living the lap of luxury and you're on TV telling me that I need to give my 99 cents to this organization to feed that hungry, you know, I got a problem with you, because if I had $10 million, I would probably be broke within a week's time, because I couldn't sit there and live on that $10 million knowing that there was somebody else out there in this world starving to death. I couldn't live.
How much money they pay Sally Struthers for that whiny, crying little voice, the holding those starving little children begging you to send your 99 cents a month in? I mean, that woman makes so daggone much money off of those videos, it's unreal.
Well, that's sickening.
You know, and why don't she use some of that money and give it to the poor and feed the hungry children herself?
Yeah, I would say, look, I'm going to work for this amount of money, and this amount of money is going to be delivered directly to those people that are in need. I would have volunteered my time for it, you know. I wouldn't even ask for any money to begin with. If there's really a need out there, then it needs to be addressed. And to profit off somebody else's, starvation or death or whatever. That's sickening. It is.
I mean, she's got that whiny, crying voice, and every time I see one of those commercials, I just wanted to spend money, thousands of dollars, just to hunt her down and slap her damn face.
Well, I understand your frustration. It breaks my heart to see tears in a baby's eye. It does. I don't care whether it's a show or whatever. It just breaks my heart to see tears in a baby's eye. And if these problems are going on, and I know that we are as a nation have our governments funding things like the mating cycles of the caterpillar or whatever, or why bugs do whatever, and we're spending millions of dollars on needless research that could have went over there to feed this particular child or protect
it. Is there anybody out there that realizes just how cold-hearted a human being would have to be to hold a starving child and beg people to give money to feed that child when that person themselves has over $3 or $5 million in the daggone bank?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cold-hearted now.
Yeah, that is.
Hard.
But you know how they justify their own actions? Is they turn around, even though they know that they got millions of dollars, they justify their own actions by saying, hey, I give $1,000 to this same charity, you should give 99 cents or whatever. All right, well, you just gave $1,000, but you're sitting on $10 million. Do you know how many pieces of bread you could buy for $10 million?
Last week, I just put a chart on my Facebook site showing how much the CEO of each gifting organization makes a year. And I'm not sure, I can't repeat it. I mean, if anybody wants to question me, then go to my cotton picking Facebook site and read the chart yourself. The March of Dimes, the reason they call it the March of Dimes is that less than 10 cents out of every dollar reaches the people it's intended for. The CEO of March of Dimes makes somewhere between $200 and $300 million a year. 75% of every dollar donated to the March of Dimes goes for advertising. I mean, come on, folks. Then it also tells how much the good ones make.
Well, and there's another grievance that I have with the mainstream media as well. Because if you're the mainstream media and you're charging somebody thousands of dollars for a commercial to benefit somebody else that is in need, you ought to be flat out ashamed of yourself. Sure, they got working expenses, but how much does it cost for 30 seconds worth of telling people that there's a need in this world? And if you think that 30 seconds isn't that much, you go look at how much it costs during the Super Bowl game to put up a commercial. That's a lot of money.
The CEO of Salvation Army makes $23,000 a year. Folks, that's just barely over $500 a week. I couldn't live on that kind of money, but he does.
Yeah.
I think it's 87 cents out of every dollar that's donated to the Salvation Army gets to the people it's intended to get to. The rest of it goes for transportation and advertising or whatever. And they don't advertise a whole lot. I mean, come on, folks. If you're going to donate money, find out who you're donating it to and where your money's going.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I was stopped the other day by somebody that wanted to get me to sign up to $10 a month to the National Heart Foundation.
Right.
A nice young girl. We chatted away, and she was quite pretty and quite enthusiastic. And I said, what type of car does the director drive? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, what type of car does he drive? And she said, I don't understand. I said, well, who pays for it?
Exactly.
If I give you $5 a month for, 1 year, that's $60. The average car in Singapore costs $100,000 plus. They've got things like certificate of entitlement. It costs you about $70,000 after you've passed your driving test to get permission to drive, because it's a city state, it's like the Vatican, it's tiny, it's about 14 miles across by 7 miles wide, and with, what, 5 million people living there, not everybody can drive. And I said, what type of car does he drive?
Well, that...
I was sitting there the other night, and a Ferrari came past. A Chinese guy, a little Indian restaurant around the corner. He said, what do you think of that? And I said, so, what, a Ferrari here costs, what, maybe 1.5 million to put on the road? I think the world needs 50 engineers, because it's about $30,000 for an engineering degree, a four-year degree. And if you times, what, 30,000 by 50, you get 1.5 million. I think we need 50 more engineers in the world than we need a 26-year-old driving around in a Ferrari.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, you know something, when you're talking about that car deal, it got me to thinking about the major proponents of the whole global warming scam out there are basically trying to talk you into living in a tiny house and reducing your footprint while they actually, your carbon footprint is what they say, while they're actually living in a huge mansion and flying around in corporate jets and limousines. And so, you know, hey... Where does it stop, guys?
Let me read the text message to you, Shiziz. We're looking for an apartment at the minute. Now, we're paying 3 times in rent here for an apartment that we paid for a 3-bedroom house on a third of an acre of land back in Europe. It's 603 square feet.
That's not much.
With a roof terrace of 592 square feet. And I went to see an apartment 2 nights ago. And there's a Chinese guy there with a big grin on his face. He's paid $1.3 million for this apartment. Triplex apartment, 1,152 square feet on 3 levels. You couldn't even put a sofa into the main living area. It wasn't big enough.
Man.
You could get a queen size bed, which is 200 centimetres by 180 centimetres, and you couldn't get the door open. And when I walked back down from the roof terrace, which was basically a glorified balcony, he had a big smile in his face, and I said, "Look, I'm really sorry, sir. This is a lovely apartment, but it's too small for me." And he was sort of grinning and laughing at me. And I stuck my finger in my mouth, and that's the sound of the bubble bursting. It's already burst in Europe, and it's coming your way, so you won't be grinning much longer, mate.
Yeah.
And he wasn't smiling when I left. Recently, there was reports from the housing agency in this country that there's a massive oversupply. There's something like 70,000 empty apartments, and if the developers don't sell the properties, they pay massive fines to the government for it.
Well,
can't hear you.
You know, it's kind of crazy, because you've got these, it's got UN Agenda 21 written all over it. They've been talking for a very long time about putting people in smaller and smaller apartments. If you go back to the 1970s, looking at the buildings and structures here, 1,500 square feet was considered the minimum living space that a family required. Family of maybe 2 adults, 2 children. Now, we're talking about 1,000 square feet on 3 levels. That's 300 square feet per floor. My garden shed was built 300 square feet.
Well, you know, here we go, guys.
I'm currently living in a huge social experiment.
I think we all are.
You know, the conversations that we got, us guys have had over the last 4 or 5 years, I'm living in it. It's kind of scary.
I think we all are. I think for the most extent, the majority of all of us...
What's every size of a house in America?
Well, I guess my house would be a mansion compared to what you're talking about. I mean, I got a 5-bedroom house.
I know the answer, but I was just wondering if people have got the average idea of what the standard size house that's currently being built in the USA is.
Well, in some neighborhoods, my house is puny, you know. So, you know, hey,
still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I'm looking. According to this little website here, it's saying 2,600 square feet for houses being built last year. So,
yeah,
by the census bureau,
2,500.
Well, welcome,
well,
Thomas.
Saying it's 2,600, and the year before it was 2,400, so it's going up.
Yeah.
Welcome, Thomas. It's good to hear from you.
Usually, it's about 2,500. In Europe, it's right about half that, about 1,250. When you get to Asia, it's kind of a third less, at about 1,000. 1,000 square feet for a family to live in. This was one of the agendas of the Cancun global warming meeting. They were kind of making a big thing about getting back the washboard. Instead of having a washing machine, you've got this built-in sort of textured panel that you can rub your clothes on to wash them. Because you don't want to be wasting water by using a washing machine.
Mine's about 800 square feet.
Yeah, mine was 950 in Europe. Do you know methane is destroying the planet?
Yeah, that sounded kind of bad. Should we take a music break for some coffee, or do you guys want
to... What I'm trying to put forward is the concept, though.
Sure.
Governments approve architectural designs. If people don't just get to start building this stuff willy-nilly, there's always planning. There's planning permission, there's planning fees. You've got civil servants looking at the architectural drawings and approving them. Why are they approving 300 square feet of the living area? On any level, you can't live in that. You can just barely exist. And I think it's to put people under pressure, to make them unhappy. So they're easy to manipulate.
You know, let's see, what's 8 times 18?
Well, 10 eggs are 180 minus 8. Yeah.
Yeah, I lived for 8 years in an 8 foot by 18 foot Prowler camper trailer, which is a total of 144 square feet. But I didn't actually live there. I ate there, I slept there, and I worked most of the time. Or I went out to clubs and went dancing. You can survive in 150 square feet or less, but you're not going to live. You're just going to sleep there and eat there and take a shower.
That's kind of funny, actually, because a friend of mine spent 7 years in a room that was 8 foot by 10 foot, and there were 4 bunk beds and a plastic bucket in the corner, but that's what you get for stealing stuff.
Yeah. Yep. You can do it, but it's not comfortable.
And like you say, crime doesn't pay for the hours ago.
Exactly. But you crowd a family, a man, a woman, and 2 or 3 kids in 300 square feet? Whoa. I mean, it'd be the same thing as taking the, and they've done this, the experimental of this, and taking white mice or rats or whatever, put them in a small cage to where there was barely enough room for them to lay down to sleep. And next thing you know, no matter how much food, no matter how much water they get, they're fighting, chewing up each other, killing each other, whatever. You crowd too many people in a tight space and tempers are going to flare. That's all there is to it.
There's a famous movie called The Experiment. It was conducted in Germany in the 1960s, where they got volunteers and they turned half of them into prisoners and the other half of them into prison guards. Now, you talk about social engineering. Anybody that is really interested in social engineering might want to go and watch a movie called The Experiment, because what happened is the prison guards, it were just normal people that were told, right, you're going to be a prison guard. These other people that have done nothing wrong, absolutely wrong, are going to be prisoners. They started abusing them and mistreating them, and they had to pull the plug on the project because it ended up like Auschwitz.
It's like you were saying earlier, Shooters, there's a war for our minds.
Yep.
The term might have been coined by Alex Jones, but it's no conspiracy theory that they're messing with us.
Well, you know, like I said, I put that video out there in the chat room about the German...
I wouldn't say messing. I'd say it has more to do with just outright manipulation to control things.
Yep.
Because if we stop fighting each other, if we have, you know, white people and black people and men and women all working together and not fighting and struggling with each other constantly anymore, you're going to suddenly find that the people who basically write the numbers on the ledger that determine how much money goes into the world that have been manipulating our lives this whole time are going to become very visible. It will be very easy to see them.
Colloquialism. Message generally means that you're interfering with things.
Right.
I did.
But, that's what I'm saying, though. I'm just saying it's no game. It's definitely no game.
Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew, the guy that taught women it was cool to smoke.
I did a video here.
There's a lot of people out there that come from very close-knit families that have done a lot of things. And a lot of people have followed them. And I just wonder when people are going to start making their own decisions. Actually looking at information and basing it on what's not necessarily good for them and them alone, but what's generally insane.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I constantly was popular. Oh, this is a really good location. I said, well, good for who? They're telling me, oh, you've got a tube station just outside your door. And I said, yeah, but it goes in the wrong direction. You know where I work, you know where I want to go, and you're telling me that the tube station that goes in the opposite direction is a really convenient location. For who?
Mm.
You know, why are you trying to apply that to me when I've just informed you quite clearly that it's irrelevant? It's because it's popular.
I did a video the other day.
When comes the point when people start actually critically thinking about what's important to them? And I don't mean it in a selfish sense, but, you know, there has to be a certain amount of, okay, well, I can follow the crowd, I can be a sheep, or I can make my own decision. And say, okay, well, you want me to pay an extortionately large amount of money for convenience that you've made up but that isn't really relevant to me. I come across this every day. You know, I was working in a bar up until Christmas there, and people said, what's popular? And I said, well, you know, gang rape, muggings, you know, funding arms companies, so even though they drop bombs on brown people, I mean, what do you mean what's popular?
I'd like to address something that...
I didn't quite get the humor in it, but...
I'd like to address something that Thomas said there for a second.
Ask me a silly question, you get a silly answer.
And I'm paraphrasing what he said, because...
what is the cult of personality?
Can you guys hear me?
No, you're selecting somebody repeatedly that just constantly lies to you.
Can you guys hear me? Hello?
There are solutions,
though. Yeah, there are.
It's like, think you can survive in, what was it, 18 by 10? Kevin?
Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
What tarnation's going on?
We still on there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're here. Making a lot of sense, which is concentrating.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, well, I don't come on. I think I said my piece.
Alright, well, guys, I don't know what's going on.
Who thinks she's in this?
Hold on, I can't hear you guys.
You stuck up to the bathroom.
Oh, man. Too bashful to say so, huh?
Well, yeah.
I think it's time that people start taking some responsibility in their lives and remove that responsibility from the people that, you know, have been abusing it. I mean, we've had a war on drugs since God knows when going on here. We've had a war on poverty since God knows when here in America. And it's quite clear that that war is being lost. The more they fight, the worse it gets. So obviously, our government doesn't work. It just doesn't.
Yeah, their solution to it is to have a war on guns.
Somehow or another, I had muted my microphone. I was trying to answer you guys, so in the podcast you're going to hear, can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me? I want to.
That was like me about 3 weeks ago, and I was muted. And I made some great comments.
I wanted to touch on something that Thomas had mentioned earlier. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it was talking essentially about power, you know. These guys, I did a video, and I'm going to go ahead and repost the link inside there, and it's kind of a unique video. Take it how you want, but there is pretty much the same message in there, that if you know the truth, they have no power. And that's the way it is. They only have power because we allow them to do the things that they're doing, you know.
The truth sets you free.
That's right. And so knowledge on all this stuff that we're talking about and sharing that knowledge in a respectful manner to other individuals out there in the world, the more people are knowledgeable, the less they can get by with. You know, the more eyes that are on the crime being committed, so to speak. You know, like, I don't know if you guys had heard, but on BBC, they actually came out and they were talking about the French shooting being a doggone... a false flag deal. Alright, well, that was mainstream media, essentially BBC. When they don't come out and say that stuff, you know, none of the mainstream media comes out and says, hey, it's a false flag, or, you know, the keywords that you hear in the alternative media. So, you know, hey, somebody looked at the picture, they seen something that didn't look right, and they actually said something about it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I should point something out too. If anybody out there thinks that the news was ever meant to be trusted as like a source of, like, you know, knowledge to tell you what's going on around you, you only need to listen to one key thing, and that's, you hear this repeatedly from all these different news stations, more of the news you want.
Yeah.
I need more of the news you want. And we have a whole culture of little children out there, okay, in adult bodies. What do little children ask for when you say, hey, what do you want to eat? Ice cream, cookies, candy. Yeah. What about these vegetables? No vegetables. So you don't want the stuff that's good for you, you want the stuff that makes you sick. Yeah!
Well, and I kind of said this too earlier, that, you know, I watch, I'm more leaning towards Fox News because at least they're kind of saying what I want, but for the most part, the only reason why I even watch them is to see what it is that they're lying about so I can figure out what's going on in the world.
And I was going to say, they misspelled that. It's not F-O-X, it's F-A-U-X.
Well, I believe it. But see, the whole thing is, Fox News caters to people that lean more conservative, as the MSNBC crew leans to people, leans towards people that are more liberal or whatever. And so there's this continuous...
It drives a wedge between those two people even stronger.
Yeah, there's a continuous pitting against the red and the blue team. And out here in the real world, where you and I live, there is no red or blue team. There is a whole bunch of real people living in real circumstances where they have real problems and they need real help. And so with that said, you know, while they're pumping up their propaganda and all their war machine and anti-gunness, anti-whatever, you know, there are real things happening in the real world. Your average Joe stops in for a few, watches the news, and hears all this, and then turns around and repeats it to their neighbor, you know. Like I was telling Raymond earlier, I trust Raymond, but even after Raymond told me about a story, I'm not going to take it to total heart and pass it on until I've actually done a little bit of research to find out, you know, what the good points are and the
make
bad.
Make sure that if he made a mistake, you perpetrate that and exacerbate it.
Yeah. You know? It may not have been intentional on his side. He may have heard it from another person that he trusts as well. But I would also go back to Raymond and I'd say, hey, you know, I checked out that story you was telling me about, and for the most part, it's right, but there's this one issue that is there that I need to tell you about. Now, when Raymond goes to retell that story to somebody else, he's got a little bit better information to pass on. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Can I just jump in there?
Yeah.
I mean, there is some good news, and I dropped you in a link today of a police officer in Malaysia, in a town called Penang, and I was there in 1996, just backpacking around. But he was passing a house, and they found a 7-year-old girl that was so emaciated and thin that they took her immediately into custody. There was no electricity and no running water in the house she was living in. Now, this cop went against his orders, went into the house and retrieved the girl and put her into state care immediately. And they're currently prosecuting the guy that was supposedly looking after her.
Well, and that's an understandable thing. And there should be a whole lot of police officers out there that literally, if they, you know, it's actually, you know, when you go to sign up for military or the police, they at least play the game with you, saying that you're not supposed to follow any illegal orders, even if it's from the guy on the top. If he's telling you to do something illegal, you're only supposed to follow constitutional orders. And so with that said, if the average guy out there, which a lot of times we know that that's not always the case, that they're mostly out of fear, would do what they were told anyway because they don't want to either lose their career or get thrown off in jail. If they would buck the system to the extent when they seen a real problem such as the emaciated girl you talk about and then going in there and saving her, hey, I'll deal with the consequences later. This little girl's in danger. She needs help now. I have to commend that individual.
The point I'm trying to make is, despite their best efforts, he did the right thing. After years of training.
Yeah. Years of indoctrination.
Whatever, but he still did the right thing, so there are good people out there.
Yes, there are. We need more of that on the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, but remember what I said, more of the news you want. You know, people want to hear about people being shot because of the color of their skin or not being shot because of the color of their skin. Or they want to hear about women who are basically being raped and abused. And, you know, they don't want to hear about men who've been raped or, you know, something that's gone horribly wrong for men because, you know, they're pushing a feminist agenda or whatever. That's what they want. So that's what the news is going to give them.
Well, you know, I do watch the news on television, but if I found a news channel that reported good things like what he said about the little girl and the police officer, and if that all I reported was good stuff, I'd watch it every day. I would watch that news channel.
Well, we go back to that reporter that I put the video up there in the chat rooms over at Shazizz Radio and Wake Radio chat room about that reporter. I have to commend that reporter, you know, even if it was, I don't know, some sort of setup to make you believe that you got reporters coming out of the closet to tell, you know, what's really going on or whatever. Either way, it gets people to questioning what they're being told. All right, and so I would love to see more reporters coming out saying, hey, you know, I was going to report on this, but I was told that if I did, I was either going to be shot, jailed, or fired, or whatever. You know, because the responsibility of the words that come out of your mouth, and I've said this a million times, you're more powerful than you can possibly imagine, because the words that come out of your mouth will definitely affect somebody in some form or fashion. And
yes, sir.
If you ain't talking the truth, then you should be keeping your mouth shut, because if you, especially in this day and age, you know, if you're spreading propaganda or you're hearing a story and you take this to heart, this is 100% truth, and I tell my brother about it, who tells his brother, and so on down the line, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like me taking a gun outside and just start shooting random off into the air in any direction, you know. I may or may not hit somebody. But why even take that? Yeah?
I was trained as an analyst to look at information from a purely mathematical formula. And if you look at mainstream media, something like BBC, they might have 3 million listeners a day. Now, you can have a million hits on a YouTube video made by a 15-year-old, God knows who, from whatever country, in a day. Now, if I was a cynical analyst, mainstream media knows it's losing the battle because of this controlled agenda. So what do? They issue a few stories about, you know, the uppity journalists that won't toe the line. And it's kind of, oh yeah, it's okay, investigative journalism is making a comeback.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but my point is this, that even if it turns out to be a sham that this guy, you know, well, maybe he may or may not have been manipulated behind the scenes, either way, with that listening audience, there's folks out there that are going to hear that, and they're going to say, wait a second, you know, maybe these guys haven't been telling us the truth all along, and so they're going to start to question, and so even in their trying to manipulate it around to back to their favor to get their listenership up or their ratings and doing what they're doing, they couldn't not give us a something out of that whole deal. You see what I'm trying to say here?
The joy of a democracy is it's the rule of thirds. You have one third of people that will always say yes because they can't admit that they're the people that they put before a line them. You'll have one third of the people that can't make their mind up, and you'll have one third of the people that say no. So you kind of end up balancing out at 50-50, and you're only 51%.
Well, I put this video out the other day, and if you pay real close attention to it, and you use any insight at all, you understand what I'm trying to point out. But it's 268 views on there, 19 thumbs up and 1 thumbs down, and 22 comments on this video. And you know, I've never ever had a video go viral, and I probably never will, because anybody out there who has any kind of relative information to anything, seems like the YouTube videos don't get near the counts they should, or you know, no matter how good the content is, they just don't seem to go anywhere. And I believe there's really behind the scenes monkey business going on as far as that's concerned. But in this video, it talks about some numbers. The video's named 1318. It talks about some numbers. And there are so many secrets in this world, so many possibilities, potential past societies or whatever you want to do. It's one heck of a mystery / journey. It's cool. But right in front of your face every single day, when you look at that clock, there is mathematical wizardry going on in that 360 degrees that clock's made up out of, and the numbers that are involved with that. And the whole point of this video was to open people's eyes to recognizing things that they normally wouldn't even look at. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to... You know, we talk about opening minds, we talk about waking people up, we talk about getting people to pay attention to details and stuff. And the average Joe out there, I've watched and listened to certain people that watch this video. There are individuals out there whose mind cannot even mentally comprehend even a portion of what's going on in there. They get lost, they get confused right out of the gate. Is that an intentional thing that has happened to society by the dumbing down of our children in schools, and you know, people just, their minds just cannot cope with anything above what they've been taught to be reality? You know, if that's the case, there's only a few of us out here who are bright enough to understand that the way that we are heading, as far as a society, the world in general, the path that we are on is definitely, without a doubt, leading to sure destruction. We've got the ideas, we've got the solutions, we've got lots of brilliant talent just sitting here at this round table right now that have ideas on how to feed the hungry, how to stop the wars of the world. how to pay attention to whenever the news is lying to you or propagandizing you, how to avoid, literally, World War III. It's not going to be as simple as you thought, because as much as we've been shouting out for all the years that we've been shouting out of all the different things that's going on in the world, the monkey business, our backs are against the walls, because the main majority of all the people are watching MSNBC. They're watching Fox News. Then they are also watching alternative media and leaning more towards the alternative media now that they are starting to wake up. But in the same breath, they're not doing enough. They're not getting off the couch. They're not cleaning up their own neighborhoods. They're not getting out there and saying, hey, go check this out. And most generally, when they do say, hey, go check this out, then suddenly the labels come out. And we all know the labels. Tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. You know, you've been watching too much Alex Jones or whatever like that. And the mainstream media has painted with a wide brush all of us out here who we consider to be awake as nutcases. And if you listen to this guy...
It is.
Yeah.
Did somebody give a quote from Sam Clements, otherwise known as Mark Twain?
Somebody did earlier. I think it was...
Was that you? Was that Raymond?
I think it was Raymond.
Oh, Raymond, I got one from Sam Clements myself. One of my favourite quotes of that particular genius, and I think he was a genius, was, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education.
I love it. I love it. You know...
Yeah, it's not just saying what you don't learn in school, or that the school might be trying to teach you something else. It's the deal is, most of your learning... It's like knowing who you're talking to. You know, I mean, you walk down the street in New York, here comes a guy, waves you over, and you go over there, next thing you know, he opens up his overcoat and says, you want to buy a watch? Oh, nice watch you got there. I like your watch. You instantly know many things. Number one, your life is in danger. Number two, your watch is not your own. And those watches that he has inside his coat are not his own. That you don't learn that in school, and it's things that you can kind of learn instantly. It's the feelings, the gut feelings, and all that stuff. You cannot get that in school. And if you think everything's by the book, it's not. So when you hear something out here on the news, let's say, okay, well, right now. They just made it illegal for you to have a wood stove and burn. Yeah. So that means that tells me something else. This is something that a lot of people ain't getting to learn on. If you see the patterns of the things that they're trying to make illegal, just like the gun control, they're trying to take your guns away. That means something is fixing to happen. They're going to take your doggone right to burn wood to heat your house. That means your other power is going to disappear. They want you. They don't want you to be able to take care of yourself.
No, as long as you're
in any way, shape, or form. This is the schooling. They're not teaching you the school. They're not teaching you this on the news. They're not teaching it to you anywhere. And if anybody speaks up on it, they more than likely get hushed.
Yeah, they
are. They're conspiracy theorists. I tell you what, if you listen to the conspiracy theorists, you probably get all the real news.
They want you reliant on the system that they've created for all of us. And like I said a million times before, it ceases to be a conspiracy when birds start dropping out of the sky. And when you have fish washing up on the shore and dolphins beaching themselves and so on and so forth, they don't just do that for nothing. You know, and I'm thinking that even way back in the day, if this was to happen like back before the major internet, you know, where everybody's connected it like we are right now, I think the word would have traveled. Hey, you know, we had hundreds of thousands of fish wash up on the shore, or from you know, the word of mouth will travel, you know. It may not be as fast, but we would have heard about these things a long time ago. And when that BP oil spill was going on, and they were talking about whose fault it was and this and that, and solutions to how to clean it up and fix it, and you know, you guys were there, you heard it all. The people out here in the average public who had good, valid ideas, natural ways of absorbing the oil, like using hay or straw, you know, to suck it up, and then there's all kinds of methods that were offered to the table. None of those ideas were listening to. However, they turned around and instead used a chemical called Corexit to put in the water. Does anybody know exactly what Corexit is and how it actually functions? Is it just beating up the oil and dropping it to the floor? Or is it actually eating the oil? And if it is eating the oil, was it a biological thing that could have mass produced? You know, basically, you know, like in your septic tank. They put in your septic tank a deal called Ridex. It puts a little microbacteria inside there that break down the solid waste and so on and so forth.
And it worked, you too.
Yeah, if they did something like that to the ocean, and now that stuff is literally going around trying to find all the oil that it can get and feed off of it, you know, there's oil in fish and so on and so forth, but, well, you're going to disrupt the balance of nature when you do that, and it could be, like, seriously getting out of hand. There's also the potential of all the radioactive waste that's coming up out of the Fukushima plant that is getting down in there and basically killing off the wildlife in that general area, making hot spots. With the technology we've got for radar, sonar, and different things like that, the dolphins, they navigate using the magnetic field of the earth, just like the bees and most of the flower or birds and so on and so forth use nature to navigate. And so if you're disrupting that, and the dolphin thinks it's heading south and instead it's heading north right up to the beach, then you can expect this to happen. So these aren't conspiracies. These are questions that we seriously need to ask. Is this a biblical thing that's going on? Is this a man-made deal that's going on? These are serious things. But
think of it this way. When Moses came down off the mountain and he dropped the tablets, he might not have quite read them properly, because I think there was 11 commandments, not 10. And the 11th one was, "Thou shalt not piss in the river upstream."
Yeah, well, in the movie The History of the World, Part 1 or 2, Moses comes down from the mountain. He's got three tablets, and he says, "I give you the 15, and then he accidentally drops one. He looks around to see if anybody saw it. 10 commandments. And he's like, "Well, they ain't going to listen to all of them anyway." So, you know. But either way, you know, it's going to...
Really, all a person has to do is live their life by one of those 10 commandments. And that is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that answers everything.
Yeah, right, I agree.
You but what if you're into bondage?
You don't covet your neighbor's wife. Well, duh. Would you want to covet in yours?
Yeah, but what if you dress up as a dog and sniff people's bums?
Well, then, I don't know.
That kind of doesn't really work in the real world, does it?
I don't know. All I can say to folks out there in this world, look, you gotta use some common sense. You gotta take the information that's being provided to you, use some your own judgment and discernment or whatever to pick out the truth, because there are those individuals out there, and here comes the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist in myself. You can't sell no oil if there's free energy. You can't sell no drugs if people ain't sick. You can't sell no bullets if people ain't shooting each other. It's just as simple as that. And there are people out there in many different countries, like somebody mentioned on here a little while ago, that there are drugs that cure cancer that are illegal in the United States. Now, if you're seriously serious about curing cancer, then you would want to at least check into this, I would think. If there is seriously a need such as the whole global warming scam, Why you got your boot on the neck of the alternative energy designers? Why are you continuously doing everything you can to suppress any technologies or whatever? You know, if it's really a serious event going on that's going to affect all of humanity, and since we're all in the same boat, when it sinks, we all go down together.
Shazam. There is a medical laboratory just north of Mexico City that for the past 12 to 15 years has been experimenting with baking soda to cure cancer. So far, they are running a 94% cure rate. There's also another medical laboratory in the mountains of North Carolina that has been, since 1958, experimenting with fruit seeds, the chemicals in fruit seeds that cure cancer. They are having a 96% cure rate.
We were told all them seeds, if you eat too many of them, you'll die.
Oh, man, that's bullshit crap. I'm a realist, and I'm a lazy, I would say what I am, but we're on radio. I'm lazy. So I don't spit seeds out. When I eat an orange, I swallow the seeds. When I eat watermelon, I swallow the seeds. When I eat apples, I chew up the core. I don't waste nothing. I'm 7 years old. I was told that when you reach 55 to 60 years old, it's not a matter of if you're going to get prostate cancer. It's the question is when. Well, I just had my butthole checked, and guess what? No cancer.
Well, you know what? You can learn a lot from nature.
Cancer-free wasn't.
You can learn a lot from nature. Before doctors, the Indians figured a few things out. Before doctors, the pioneers of the world figured things out. Before you had the opportunity to go to the hospital, they did the best that they could, and they learned a lot from nature. There are certain things, foods and whatever, that are, you know, good for your health. That, you know, like right now, the Food and Drug Administration, you can't put on there alternative medicine, alternative cures for whatever, because, you know, if you say it's a cure, then suddenly, you know, you're breaking the law. Well, if it does cure, if hemp seed oil or any of that stuff actually has the chance or the potential to cure a disease, then I would think that if you really cared about the people and not your pocket, you would at least do the serious research into the deal and say, look, we understand that there's this alternative medicine out there that they use hemp seed oil to cure certain deals. Now, we found through our studies that it did help on this side over here, but it also hindered over on this side. These are the actual facts of the studies. And you see where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do.
But you're not getting that.
It is.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Edward G. Griffin. In 1985, he made a documentary called A World Without Cancer, and he was talking about vitamin B17. It was known in the 70s under the chemical name of Laetrile. Now, there's three areas in the world that have no history of cancer, and they all are pretty much nomadic tribes. There's people up in the North Pole, there's people in parts of the Afghan, Pakistan, Hindu Kush mountain ranges, and the American natives as well had no history of cancer because they eat grass-fed beef, which are full of nitrilicides, which is high vitamin B17 content. When I went to Afghanistan, I went up to a place called the Panjshir Valley. It borders on Afghanistan, Pakistan, and right up in the northern end of that, a man's wealth is considered by the number of apricot trees that he has. And when they eat an apricot, they take the stone, they split it, and eat the seed inside of it. And it's only when they go to Kabul that people start getting sick. Now, this is 7,500 feet above sea level. So it's kind of not really good for Europeans that are used to living on quite flat land, because you don't have enough oxygen in your blood to be able to run around the place like you normally do. But these guys are strong. You know, I see them building roads, lifting rocks that I could barely pick up.
Well,
but all of them eat these apricot seeds. It's kind of a delicacy. But when you look into the chemistry behind it,
the apricot seed is the highest natural concentration of vitamin B17 that we know of so far.
I would say that that information is valuable information that should be put on the table for all the world to see. And if there's drug companies out there that are literally, you know, saying what could be said on TV and what can't be said on TV, you know, because of their bottom dollar, their financial works or whatever. If there's a potential for a cure and all they're doing is masking the symptoms to make money, then to me that's a problem. And like I said, yeah.
One of the guys that I grew up with, I've known this guy since I was 5 years old. He's the same age as me. We went to school together. We grew up together. About 2 years ago, he had one of his testicles removed from testicular cancer. And he was sent to a charitable foundation called the Macmillan Foundation for cancer advice. And when I looked into it, they can only give them advice on what's considered approved medicine.
Speak up.
They can only give you advice on what's approved by the British Medical Association.
Well, and there's your representative, man. That's what I'm saying. The system don't work.
If you look into the people that fund the Macmillan Foundation, it's the drug companies.
Their system, their track record stinks. You know? And it's... Man, we can keep going around in circles and going around in circles, and we can keep shouting it till we're blue in the face. But look at the track record. Look at the where the money goes, you know. And people have got to seriously realize that their true potential and their true power is in, you know, not only the word coming out of their mouth, but the way they spend their dollar, the common sense. You know, if I was dying from cancer, the very last thing that I would do is listen to some doctor's advice that says that I need to take chemotherapy, and knowing what I do know about chemotherapy and destroying your immune system and killing off the good cells along with the bad cells, making you physically ill and your hair falling out, I would rather take my chances with hemp seed oil or hemp oil or whatever kind of alternative medicine is out there available in the black market, you know? I would trust the old hippie faster than I'd trust the doggone doctor. You know what I'm saying?
If you look at recent
I called in this morning with my headphones all the stuff in the States back there, and I got my headphones and I haven't been down so it's guys, treat them grabbing these and going to call in here. You're talking stuff that's a little here and here to my heart, guys, because as you all know, I lately got involved with Jagger, and the beauty of Jagger, guys, is it's not the hemp plant. They can't classify it as a drug. They can't take it away from it. And we are seeing an exponential awakening around the planet to the beneficial health benefits of this mushroom test. 5 years, and this is one of the most incredible journeys I've gotten in my life in the last couple of weeks, just seeing that they were crazy. People consuming this natural product and staying with the doctor. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to pass on to people who get all access. Everything you need is provided by the earth. And that man so expensive a lifetime.
Well, like I said, knowledge is power. And if you have the knowledge and you're telling people about it, and you know for a fact you've done your research on it, and you keep telling people about it, you know, eventually, you know, hopefully the entire world will wake up to common sense. That's the biggest key right there. And hopefully they'll listen to the information you provide for them. Hopefully they'll do their own personal research and actually do something with it. You know, you guys got a lot of power out there. You have access to all kinds of free servers that will allow you to build your own websites. You know, you can put the information out there amongst the flood of disinformation. You know, and that's sad that we have a terminology such as disinformation that people would have to actually weed through the information that they're reading in order to find the truth. But you got to counterbalance the trash with the treasures, because if you don't, it's all trash. And if it's all trash and our boat sinks, guess what? We all go down together. So if a guy comes out and says that he's been told to say lies and propaganda on the news or the newspaper, listen to what he's saying and do your own research. If there's fish washing up on your shore, track it down to the cause and find out the real truth. And if you see it and you show the rest of the world, look, hey, they're not talking about this on the news, but this is in my backyard, and we need to address it. You know, this is the key. If we sit around and live in our compartmentalized worlds, such as, I got my little bubble and it's not happening in my neighborhood. Right now, brothers and sisters of the world, I can walk out in there and stand in my front yard and there ain't no bombs going off. There's no bad stuff. I'm perfectly safe going out standing in my front yard. I'm perfectly comfortable with sending my children out in the front yard. It's not happening in my neighborhood. But the fact that I've done enough research to see that somewhere in this world that it's happening, and I got an interest in humanity to the point where my love for my children, it extends to your side of the world too, because whatever is going on in your world, it's coming to me sometime. Maybe I'll die before it gets here, but my children's going to be here. You see what I'm saying?
Can I just jump in there a second before we get off the topic of chemotherapy? I came across an article that was published on the 7th of August 2012. It's entitled, "Chemotherapy Can Inadvertently Encourage Cancer Growth."
Well, I believe it. You know, I watched...
Anybody that's looking into this, there's a study from the US that finds the process of targeting and killing off cancer cells, chemotherapy, may also spur healthy cells in the neighborhood to release a compound that stimulates cancer growth, eventually leading to treatment resistance. Now, this is senior author Peter S. Nelson of the Human Biology Division of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. And cancer cells inside the body live in a very complex environment or neighborhood where the tumor cell resides, and who its neighbors are influence is its response and resistance to therapy. So when people give you chemotherapy, it might kill 99% of the cells, but 1% of them get even stronger.
I watched as my 14-year-old cousin Mary went through chemotherapy, and I watched as my grandfather and my grandmother went through chemotherapy. And I watched the suffering that they went through. I watched their hair fall out and them having to wear wigs and stuff like that. And it wasn't until years later that I heard of a name like Dr. Royal Raymond Rife. It wasn't until years later that I'd heard about cannabis or hemp products or alternative medicines. Had I'd have heard back then what I'm hearing now and seeing what they were going through at that point in time, I would be doing whatever it took. No matter how illegal it was in the court of law or whatever, I would do whatever it took to get that alternative medicine in them as fast as humanly possible to try to save them from going through the suffering that they do. But these mainstream doctors that are out there today, they go by the book from what they were taught in their colleges. They go by the regulations from the Food and Drug Administration and the government standing on their backs. It's sheer ludicrous that you would even... I got an echo going on. That you would even ignore something that could be a potential cure in Canada while you're putting people through that kind of torment. You see what I'm talking about?
Sure is.
Yeah.
All people have to do is go on the internet and look at the information, because there's peer-reviewed studies now, undeniable effects of cannabinoids and the CBDs in a hemp plant that absolutely destroy cancer cells. This information is undeniable. Anybody that has cancer has to go on the internet, because Just one point I'm going to bring up real quick, guys. Every time the doctor sends a patient for chemotherapy treatment in British Columbia, that doctor gets a kickback check from the medical society or whoever pays the bill for $5,000. That is a fact. So what are doctors doing? I mean, chemotherapy fails 97% of the time. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you radiate your body's going to die. Sure, it cures the long term, but chemotherapy patients never live longer than 10 years. Do research into that. It is such a travesty in our society when we have things like Chagas. We have had people, I'm only going to go on for 2 seconds, guys, because we have experienced this in our community, that we're having people coming to us and telling us that they're knocking cancer right out of their body simply by drinking a mushroom that is growing on our birch trees here in British Columbia. It has opened my eyes so much to the corruption in our pharmaceutical industry and our doctors. I think our doctors are hypocrites. I detest what doctors do to people. You go in there 1 week, they give you a prescription. You come in next week, they give you another prescription. They don't give one thing about you. They worship the dollar. And when we understand that, you'll understand that doctors are hypocrites. They have worked in the sworn court to protect you and provide the best possible health care available. They know about this, and yet they continue to go down the road they go.
Well, I agree. And Raymond had mentioned earlier about baking soda and the research that was into how cancer cells can't live in an alkaline, high alkaline body. You know, the cancer cells can't live in that, and so they die off. And so all these alternative medicines that we keep talking about, even if it only sounds scientifically plausible, you would think that before putting somebody through the torture of chemotherapy, that you would at least give nature a chance. You see what I mean?
Let's see here. Do we want a 97% success rate or a 95% failure rate?
Well, the question has to... The question.
Hang on here. Let me think. Oh, forget it. Yeah, let's just go to the doctors and give them all my money and then put my family in debt trying to bury me.
Yeah, thousands of dollars. The question has to be posed again about the conspiracy of the whole deal. All right, okay, nobody wants to talk about conspiracy nut cases and all that kind of stuff, but there is actually some stones in Georgia guidestones that say they want to reduce the population to whatever. All right, in order to reduce...
Like they were built in ancient times.
Yeah, in order to reduce the population, people have to be depleted. They have to be gone, you know? So,
okay, hang on. Before you go farther, because I know you got a lot to say on that. If they were built in our time, what do you think their agenda is for us? What do you think they actually want to do to us?
Yeah, that's the question.
Some guy living in a house with children and stuff like this did not put those stones up. Who put them up there?
If you or I was to go out there in public and get on mainstream or alternative media and start saying stuff like, well, I think we need to kill all the white folks so that everybody else can live happily ever after, you would already be heading on your way to the nut house. You would already be, the law enforcement would be looking at you as a potential terrorist / nutcase or whatever. But yet, here you got a set of stones sitting right there in public for all to view that says that we need to reduce the world's population down to this. Only by means of how? How are you going to do it? And you got guys like Bill Gates out there saying, well, we could vaccinate everybody into depopulation and stuff like that. It's not the fact whether he's going to get... Hold on a second. It's not the fact whether he's going to get by with it or not, but the fact of the matter is he just said that. He just said it to the world.
Well, if Bill Gates wants a one-child policy, perhaps he should take a gun and shoot a couple of his kids in the head.
Well, see, I don't advocate him shooting his kids in the head, but you got to listen to what these guys are saying. They're saying it to your face.
You need to practice what you preach, or unless you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, you don't see them lining up to be popular.
Kids, where you can only have one. Oh, I'm a billionaire, so it's okay.
The depopulation only goes downhill. And for everybody out there listening, in order for the capstone to be standing, you have to have a foundation. You are that foundation. The only way that they can stay up at the top is that if you sit down there and you hold them up. You hold them up with your dollar. You hold them up with your vote, whether your vote's for real or not. They know what you want and what you don't want when you vote, and they know when you're happy and when you're not happy. Whether they put out a bogus deal about a journalist that says that he's been told to lie to you all this time or not, whatever. They're putting out what you want on your channel. Or they're putting it out on MSNBC if you're a liberal. They're putting it out on Fox News if you're a conservative. They're keeping you happy by keeping you distracted and pacified for long enough for them to do what it is that they figure they're going to do. And in order to bring the population down to 500 million, when you have over billions of people living on the earth right now, tells me that you got to kill some folks off.
Yeah.
That's common sense.
Yeah, and look at the mechanisms that could do that in our society. They mean they have toys that we don't even know about. They have viruses put away in shelves that we don't even know about. There are many mechanisms they can unleash on the human race right now to bring that agenda about, and people are just sitting in the dark and not realizing it. You're right, they're right in our face. I think they enjoy putting it in our face, and they sit in a little room and laugh about it. Because, you know, how dumb are people? I mean, what's wrong with the human race? It is so in front of our face right now. We look at every aspect of our society right now, and it seems to be in total disarray. They are the masters of destruction, and you're absolutely on the tail. I love what you say, she's like,
Well, when you hear phrases such as war is profitable, you should be concerned, because that means that somebody is going to benefit off of somebody else's death. And so, you know, hey, it doesn't matter if you want to depopulate the world. Go get us into World War III. That'll depopulate the heck out of the world if the nuclear bombs start falling. But I'll tell you what, all you guys out there and gals, I don't want you to get a nuclear bomb dropped on your nation. I don't want your children going over fighting with my children, or vice versa. I don't want none of y'all to die. And I will argue till I'm blue in the face to anyone out there who says about exponential growth, how we're all gonna, you know, overpopulate the planet, and there's not gonna be enough food for everybody, and we're all gonna die and this and that. I will argue till I'm blue in the face. Nature is in charge, and if we get overpopulated, we'll have things like smallpox or the measles that'll take a bunch of us out and balance nature back out. The earth is 3/4 covered in water. You're not going to go thirsty. If you think you are, then go over there and talk to those individuals over in Dubai who have huge desalination plants and have learned how to make fresh water. All right? It goes on and on and on, but we don't have enough time for all that. We're down to like the last 8 minutes of the show. This has been a fascinating one, and I appreciate everybody's input, because I wish we had... You sit around all day long and take shifts, you know. Everybody get out there and do what it is we're doing. Putting this knowledge and this information and ideas out there is important. What'd you say, buddy?
Yeah, here's the thing now. It's like I was saying before. They try to head you off before they do something to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you go to desalinate this water. How do you get the radiation out of it?
Well,
why did they do it when they did it? Now we have a water war. I go out to my river. They're selling off my water before it gets down here. And we've got instant breakdancing lessons for our fish.
Yep.
So, if it ain't hit with radiation, then they're just going to take it.
You know what Saddam Hussein did whenever he realized he was in trouble?
Dumped oil into the water.
Yeah, you know, not only did that, he set fire to the oil wells. If I can't have it, you're not getting it, kind of thing. You know, that's the mentality of these guys and gals that are at the top of the pyramid there. And as long as we're willing to be the base of that pyramid, as long as we're willing to be the foundation for this system that is basically something that we do not approve of, we can sit around and piss and moan and complain all day long, every day. What we need to do is, you guys on the north side head the other direction, you guys on the south side head the opposite direction, east, west, all of us run out from underneath that capstone and watch that pyramid collapse. We have the knowledge, we have the technology, to do what it is that we've all set out to do. And it's going to be up to the guy and gal on the couch to literally get out from underneath. Because if all of us are running out from underneath that pyramid and that pyramid collapses and you're still sitting on the couch, guess what? You get squished.
Well, let's look at this. If you distill your water, well, that water is going to suck vitamins out of your body rather than add it to it. So we can't just distill our water to make it pure.
Well, you know, that's something we can all work those bugs out.
What can we do to get the radiation out of the water?
Those are more questions for another day, another show that we can all work the bug out. I mean, but we got to do it because if you look out there, once again, folks, whether it be biblical or man-made, when fish start floating up on the shore out by the thousands and the millions, when birds start dropping from the sky, when you're watching your families and your children go through sicknesses that should be cured, when you see all this stuff going on in the world, in your own personal life, when you're going to work, both of you, your husband, your wife, whatever, you're going to work every day and you're struggling to survive, and these guys at the top are sending their mainstream media goons out there to tell you to go live in a tiny house while they're living in a mansion. Common sense dictates that if you don't practice what you preach, then you shouldn't be preaching at all. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I said that to somebody.
Yep. Well, we're down to the last 5 minutes. If you guys got a last word, you need to squeeze it in there.
Yeah, I'd love to have one last thought here, too. I see the biggest challenge for the big break out, the big challenge of the big that in the last 50, 60 years, how we've done it, because the most challenging side, which is also the ultimate challenge for the community divided society, and that society will come out. Remember, foreign human history has been more important for the ultimate effort to our own head and start communicating, and that's something our society lacks. And that's my last thought for the day. I pray every day that the veil of the veil is lifted up the human race, because we are in very, very terrible times. I don't think we have a long time left to correct these problems, guys. For my thoughts for the day, share your thoughts with your neighbor, open your heart, look them in the face, and tell them they love you. Don't say it with your mouth, say it with your heart, say it with your thoughts, say it with your actions, and it has an amazing effect on people. My thoughts for those guys. God bless you and love you.
Amen. My last word, amen. Y'all have a good one. God bless.
Look to hear it, guys. It'll answer all your hopes.
Yeah, Bubba. This ad needs Thomas, Dublin, and Pelopsy.
Well, make it quick.
Au revoir.
Thomas, you got any last words real quick? Well, apparently not. Anyway, guys and gals, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's been a fascinating conversation, a lot of good information, and all I can say to you out there is keep listening, tell your friends if you believe in what we're doing that you join any network. If it isn't ours, go to anyone that has some good solutions, any ideas out there to benefit society. So with that said, I'll say peace and love to all of you. And play us up out of here with this. I'm probably going to go over just a hair, but I got to put the dream in there.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem. Only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. yet it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry! What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the turbo! Always looking, fulfills the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table!